Hey guys, this is Mo Sider from the Detroit Red Wings. You guys listening to Locked On Red Wings.
You're Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Locked On Red Wings podcast. Today is Thursday, May 6th, 2021, and today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts of your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and let them know that Locked On sent you. We've got another fun episode for you guys today, another draft-centric episode for you guys today. Yesterday, we named the 6 through 10 players on our draft big board for the Red Wings as we as the season wraps up. We start to approach the NHL draft. If you missed yesterday's episode, highly recommend going back and giving it a listen. It was a pretty fun time ranking those guys. And well, we'll tell you who we have ranked there. We'll do a quick recap of that episode right after these introductions. I am Detroit sports editor Nolan Bianchi. With me today, as always, guiding the ship, Scotty Bentley, host of The Bentley Show, Detroit sports encyclopedia, and co-host here at Lockdown Red Wings. Scotty, what's going on, buddy?
Man, I feel like you guide the ship, and I just like hold the rope for the sail. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you're like, hey,
I guide the ship and you have a sturdy hand on my shoulder.
There you go.
You know,
and like a torn, like sports coat, like with a hole in it.
Yeah.
Just like in a hat on, you know, like one of those kind of, and a beard that I can't grow.
Yeah.
Like one of those kind of things going.
You're just there for me to like make comments in passing too.
Right, you know? Sure. You're like, wow, it's like, pretty windy today, huh? It is, Nolan. Yeah, it is.
Water's awfully choppy.
Yeah, you damn right. Yep.
That's all. All right. Well, how about you start? Let's do a quick recap of yesterday's show. Give me your 10 through 6 players on your big board before we hop in and start counting down from 5 to 1.
Sure. So I had Fabian Lysell at my 10, Kent Johnson at my 9, Dylan Gunther at my 8, Brent Clark at 7, and William Eklund as my 6. And honestly, I love Eklund a lot. I think in the next couple of weeks, he could sneak into my top 5. And you gave such a passionate, just heart-wrenching speech on Clark that it almost makes me kind of want to move him up too. But that is where I currently stand.
I said this on yesterday's show, but I think Brant Clark might sneak into my like top three. Like they're at a certain point. Well, I mean, I don't know. We'll get to that conversation later. We'll talk about who will be available left for the Red Wings, wherever they pick. We'll kind of get into that at the end of the show, but yeah, man. I mean, if Brant Clark is there at 6 or 7 or something like that, like I see very few players in this draft who I would take ahead of him at this point. My top 10, I have Kent Johnson, Dylan Gunther, Simon Evanson, Fabian Lysell, and then Brant Clark at number 6. Do you want to kick us off with your number 5 player on your list?
Yeah, man. It's someone that that you had in last episode, Simon Evanson. He's at my 5. I think that the pairing with him and Sider would be, and I said the same thing about Clark, but I think that pairing would be unbelievable. I think that he is such a good skater. He's so fast. He's kind of someone that can control the puck through the neutral zone and into the offensive zone while Sider kind of stays back a little bit and bangs, you know what I mean? Like, I think and he's got the size still, as well as being that good of a skater. I think that the like plays and possibilities that they could draw up and like scheme with and have fun with both of them on the same line would be things that no other pairing in this draft would be able to do. I think it would be super unique, super intriguing. And as much as I love Clark, it would be super happy with that too. I just think Evanson, that pairing would be like one of the most perfect pairings there is. I would be incredibly pumped about that.
Yeah, Evanson, like, to some degree reminds me a lot of Moritz Seider, just like the way he skates, his stride, the technical soundness of his game, like when you watch him. And I just think I'm with you, like from a defensive standpoint, that's a match made in heaven. Ideally, one of them could score maybe a little bit more, but
for sure.
I mean, like even in the offensive zone, Evanson is pretty capable. And we've also, I mean, heard knocks on Moritz Seider's offensive upside that have kind of gone out the window since he was drafted as well. So definitely something to keep an eye on. At my number five, I'm going to be the first to do it. Well, technically I'll be the second to do it because you have him ranked higher than me.
Right. But, correct.
I'm going to go with the goaltender from Luleå, Jesper Wallstedt. He's just like, I just, it's funny to think like how desperately I want the Red Wings to have a goaltender given like how well the Bernier and Greiss tandem actually panned out. Like in the long run, like Greiss had a really tough start to the season. He has been very good as of late. He was the NHL's first star of the week this week. You know, two straight shutouts, all that stuff. But like, as far as a long-term solution, there's just nothing in your prospect pipeline besides maybe Keith Petruzzelli if he ends up panning out. And at this point, like, I think it's okay to have some of your eggs in the Petruzzelli basket, but we've talked about how fickle goaltenders are. It's one of the reasons that a lot of people will be hesitant to take Jesper Wallstedt in this spot. So you can just never have too much goaltending talent in your pipeline. And I know that there's a lot to be said about risking, you know, this high of a draft pick on a goaltender, but like, here's my whole thing with that. I like fundamentally disagree with that because the goaltending position, all you need is one. And if you look at like top five, top 10 picks, yeah, sure, there's a pretty good chance. I wouldn't even say pretty good, but there's a chance that he might not work out, but there's a chance that every player in the top 10 might not work out. It's just the fact of the matter when you're dealing with prospects. And to me, the potential of being able to have that number one goaltender, that role just filled, I mean, is so valuable to me. And it's not like you got to build on it year over year. If this guy hits his ceiling, you have a franchise goaltender that can do anything for you in the playoffs at any time. And you look at some of the teams who have done it over the last two decades or so. You look at Montreal. How many times did even this past playoffs, actually, the Verb, you got Carey Price, you know, like that's a real thing. Do you think the Pittsburgh Penguins regret drafting Marc-Andre Fleury first overall when they did? I don't think so. He won them a Stanley Cup. He was a part of another one, part of two more Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
So he's got three Stanley Cups to his name, been to another with the Golden Knights. And that's just something you can't replace. Vasilevsky with Tampa Bay. They don't give a shit who their backup goaltenders are because they know they got their guy. He's a true number one horse. And when I look at Wallstedt, I see a lot of like a Vasilevsky type of goaltender where he's just so technically sound. His technique is fantastic. And when you watch him play, I don't know how to describe this, but like it gives me very similar vibes to like playing a video game on an extremely high level of difficulty. Like there's no human error involved in his game. Like he's just got great awareness in the cage. And like I said, I'm pro goalie in the top 10.
So I do share like all those sentiments. I think that the value behind him, and I'll go more in depth when we get to him on my ranking, but I think
wherever he may be,
right, wherever he may land, I think the value of him using a top 10 pick and taking a goalie and then literally not having to worry about it for the next, like, you know, best case scenario decade, like that's so valuable that I don't really like, I get they're hard to predict and that's the purpose. But yeah, I'll get more into it when I get to him. My number four, I'm going to bring another Hughes into the league. That's going to be my four, Luke Hughes. I know that I've talked super highly about a lot of other defensemen in this draft. Luke Hughes to me is one of the biggest risk, biggest reward players in this entire draft. I think that he has one of the highest ceilings in the entire board. But I also think that especially out of these top 10 players, I think he has one of the lowest floors. And I think that he is a huge, maybe huge risk is a little me being overly dramatic, but I think that there is definitely risk involved with taking him. That being said, you know, I know it's like corny and maybe like a whatever, like a boomer take, but like hockey family, you know, like, I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of, I really like the odds of him getting at least close to his potential ceiling. And I think that his ceiling is bar none, one of the highest in this entire draft.
Yeah. And I also have Luke Hughes at four on mine. So I guess I'll just jump into that as well. Yep. I share basically everything you said, copy control X, control V. I honestly think that and I think there is some bias here. I agree. I think I really hate the idea of them missing out on another Hughes brother or passing on another Hughes brother. And he turns out to be amazing. And you look back and, of course, we all love Phillip Sedin, and I hate to even bring that up, frankly, but I was reading something from Tony Ferrari, and he said that he basically thinks he took the biggest leap of any prospect in this class. And that is a significant distinction to me, because it's the reason why you draft them at 18 years old, and the draft can become so convoluted, because you're drafting for upside. You're drafting for the player that they can become. You're not drafting for the player that they already are. I mean, sometimes you are in the cases of like the premier, you know, number one picks and things like that. But again, like, it kind of falls within the Brant Clark scenario of, this is a guy who is an unbelievable skater. He's also like Clark at, right at 6'2". And his stride is just unbelievable to watch. And I don't know. I think there's a lot, I can fully see why this draft has been so tough to predict and things like that, because there is a lot of talent, and there's a lot of talent to me that's kind of similar, and it's all in the same tier. But I mean, I would love a Hughes brother on the Red Wings, and just as a matter of principle, frankly.
fair enough.
You know, the hometown kids. So
yes,
Luke Hughes at number four. We're gonna finish up the rest of the draft in the next segment, finish up our big boards for the NHL draft in just a second. But first, I got to talk to you guys today about Wealthfront. Stonks, memes, rocket ships, day trading can be a lot of fun. But if you want to grow your long-term wealth and make it to the moon, you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today. Decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds are not in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in a matter of minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences that you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can cover more than the low annual 0.25% advisory fee. And best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion, billion with a B, of assets. And you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockdownNHL. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth and grow your wealth the easy way, and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free, go to wealthfront.com/lockdownNHL. That's wealthfront.com/lockdownNHL to start growing your savings. wealthfront.com/lockdownNHL and get started today.
Fedorov gives him the business.
All right, Scotty, we are back. Segment two here at the Locked On Red Wings podcast. We are running through our big board for the 2021 NHL draft. We just went through 5 and 4. We're going to get to 3 and 2 in this next segment. Then we're going to finish up with our top prospect for this upcoming draft. We are looking at things from a Red Wings perspective. So keep that in mind as we go through. If this is your first time listening, thanks for joining us. The best way that you can find us each and every day is by pressing that subscribe button. We've got new episodes coming daily, and subscribing is the only way to make sure that each and every morning when you wake up, a new episode is waiting for you before you start your morning commute. Number three, who do you got?
Okay, I'm finally going to – I know everybody at home is just at the edge of their seat with anticipation. When is he going to say Jesper's name? It's been way too long. He's a goalie.
I know I have.
I know. It's really the main talking point of the people at home. I'm finally going to take him off the board. Jesper Wallstedt is going to be my three, completely blowing out of the water the notion that goalies shouldn't be taken that high. I think he should be one of the most looked at people for the Red Wings in this draft. Like I talked about earlier, I think that the value in taking one this high, yes, there's obviously a risk because goalies are hard to predict, but him not having to take one for the next potential decade, not having to worry about that position, you're building from the back forward at the NHL level. You have Zadina and Larkin. You kind of have some people on the front lines. Then you have Mo coming up. You get a lockdown goalie in there. Then you're taking care, addressing all three levels, kind of with young up and coming people. I think it's a great fit. I love him, and I would be ecstatic if the Red Wings took him in the draft. It's easily, if you want to talk about the most fun I would have on draft night, like the happiest reaction you would get, taking him would definitely be number one on that list.
And the thing too is like the cost of a goaltender, right? Like you would rather have just young Jesper Wallstedt breaking into the league, like rather have a homegrown kid of sorts take over the net than have to try. Like, I just think of these teams that are just, year after year, the goaltending is an issue. Like, and it's just,
we saw it at the deadline this year.
Yeah. And like teams like Edmonton or even Toronto at times where the goaltending is just not there. And you're like, holy shit. Like that there, we have one player on our team who's not doing well and it's ruining everything.
Right.
You know? And that to me is really speaks to the value of the goaltending position and why I don't necessarily like the idea of, you know, just trying to figure that out later on down the road. Like, I think this is a thing that it would serve the Red Wings well to be proactive on. I kind of already went down my soliloquy about Wallstedt and goaltenders here a minute ago, but nonetheless, I am in the three's a little high for my taste, but
for sure.
You know,
yeah, no, it's understandable. I just the notion that just because they're hard to predict doesn't mean you should like address it is ridiculous to me. And so I think when we had Tony on, he said he's one of the best goalie prospects he's seen in the last 10 years. And I'm all in, and I would have so much fun on draft night if the Red Wings gave him a wind wheel sweater.
Same, like with the exception of, actually there is no exception, like this would
not
I agree this would be like would be the happiest most,
yeah for sure not necessarily possibly like, but like there, obviously there's two people higher than I'm on my list, not necessarily like the people I would think is best, but out of literally every single person on the board, there is no one that would make me like more just like giddy on draft night to draft than Wallstedt.
All right. With my number three, I'm going to go with somebody that you already took off the board, and that is William Eklund. I love that he's coming from the SHL like Raymond did. I just like, you know, drafting guys out of that league. Like I like that they're getting professional experience at such a young age. He's getting some work on the wing, getting the opportunity to expand his toolbox during his draft year. And I just honestly love the way he plays. We talked to Mikhail Holm, who is now with McKean's Hockey. He said that William Eklund was the number one player in this class. We've, you know, DM'd pretty frequently when he just went to go see him not too long ago. He's great on offense. He brings some significant playmaking upside. His patience is extremely notable. He moves the puck very well, and he's got a pretty good shot as well. And on top of that all, he loves to mix it up in the defensive end. He'll go into every corner. He'll battle with anybody. And from what I've seen, basically, like, his play in transition is super impressive as well. So when you can do it in all three zones, that to me is somebody that you definitely identify as somebody who could be a real difference maker for your team long term, because that is kind of, again, the mold that we're starting to see Steve Yzerman build here in Detroit. Eventually down the road, he's some guy who could become in the mix for maybe a 1C or a 2C for the Red Wings. But even if he doesn't make that transition, I think you're ending up with a super talented winger in William Eklund. I don't think you can go wrong with drafting him. Like, there are a lot of guys. And that's the thing about this draft too, is like, I think as you go down the line, like, at each particular position, like, I don't know if there are guys that I really don't like, you know what I'm saying?
But sure. With him, is it's so, even if the scoring doesn't translate at a clip that makes you happy, at a bare minimum, you are getting a great facilitator who is going to spread your offense out and be able to find people and make the people that he's on the ice with better. Like, there's no scenario, barring like catastrophe, that really he's a really, I like him a lot, as I kind of talked about last episode. I'm really high on him as well.
So number two then brings us to who you got? I think we have the same guy for two and one, frankly. But
yeah, we definitely have the same people. It's just a matter of whether we have them in the same order.
Yeah.
I have Owen Power at my two.
Okay, different order.
So yep. So Power. There's first off, as I said in the last episode, I'm a big Wolverine fan. And I think that was, I loved watching this team play when we were able to this year. The Power is probably has, in my eyes, the highest floor in the entire draft. I think that he might not have the ceiling that a lot of like guys that are debated on going and in a lot of mocks going number one overall might have historically, but I think that I think it's pretty safe to say he has the highest floor in the entire draft. He is a defenseman that is a facilitator, that has great puck control. You're going to get a solid NHL defenseman at worst. You're getting like a solid, like really high end two, or low end one. That's like worst case scenario. So anytime you have a floor that high, you're going to be really high on boards. I like his game a lot. He was a blast to watch at U of M. I just think that the combination of solid defense, and everybody in this draft has question marks next to their name, as every draft does. But I just think the being that good of a facilitator at that position and kind of going with the flow of any scheme or offense or defense you put him in is just too valuable. So he's at my two.
And an important thing to note is like, he can be a number one. Like, we've talked about all these guys. We've talked about how they look like with Mo Sider, like Owen Power, like Mo Sider. It seems slanderous for me to even say this, but Owen Power could end up being a number one, you know, versus Mo Sider. I wouldn't consider it likely by any stretch of the imagination. I think Mo Sider is like just in like has an unbelievably sky's the limit for him. But you know, like I've kind of talked about with everybody, like, oh, he would look great with Sider. Sider would look great with Owen Power. Like that.
Sure.
You know,
it's a good way to put it.
My number two, I'm gonna go Matty Beniers, University of Michigan Center. Like a lot of the guys that we've talked about, he just does everything well. He might have the most complete two-way game out of anybody else in this draft. He's one of the only people that I got to see in person. I got the chance to see the Wolverines play live a couple times this year. And that term 200-foot game, I know it's a bit overused probably at this point, But he really is that difference maker, like in that regard, because he can help you match up against top lines. He can be the guy that shuts down the terrific center on the other end. And he can lighten the load defensively for his teammates. He can put his teammates in good spots to score, and he's not a bad finisher himself. I know Nate Lehman, his coach during the World Juniors, said that he was the line that made the, or he was the person that made the line with Caulfield and Matthew Boldy tick. Like, he was the guy who was going into the corners. He was the guy who was never getting tired. He was the guy who was always making the right play to get the puck out of the zone or do whatever he had to do to make sure that his team got the win. And that trust just grew over time in that tournament. And I think you really got to see the potential of Matty Beniers. And then this past season at Michigan, like, he was just, he was fantastic. Bringing a lot of the same stuff. Again, it's a prime position of center. I really would like the Red Wings to get more center depth in their organization. And to me, Beniers is a guy with a high floor. And I know that's probably been said a little bit too much about his game at this point, but I truly do believe it. Like, he just plays such a sound game. It's hard to believe that he won't translate to the next level.
Yeah. I mean, I'll definitely go into him. Yeah. He's obviously my one. So I'll definitely go into him on the other side of the break, but I love Beniers. I love him.
All right, why don't we get into that break then and talk to the folks about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models out there, it is now impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. Rockauto.com, though, they're a family business online serving auto parts customers for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is your unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your car or truck and choose the brand specifications and the prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and are always the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why would you spend up to twice as much for the same auto parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and just write "Locked On" in the "How did you hear about us" box so that they know we sent you. They've got amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts that your car will ever need. It's rockauto.com. Also, got to talk to the folks today about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. The NHL playoffs are on the way. The NBA playoffs are on the way. And the MLB is in full swing. You can get all the news, latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action at BetOnline. And check out all the great sporting news, signing bonuses, or sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Do not sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device, sign up today, and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. For a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Gretzky had it, lost it. Yzerman picks it up. Yzerman moving. Blue line chance. Score! Steve Yzerman! Detroit wins!
But here we are. Segment three here at the Locked On Red Wings podcast. I am here with Scotty Bentley. I'm Nolan Bianchi. Follow us on Twitter at @LO_Red Wings. Like to have a lot of fun on there. Live tweet games, tweeting out prompts, highlights, things like that. So go memes. Take us out on there. Yeah, memes. Keep up, keep the conversation going. Tweet us your top 10 big board for the 2020.
Yeah, definitely.
NHL draft. We each have one name left to reveal. I don't think it's any secret as to who either of us are going to name. So, Scotty, why don't you lead us off with your number one player of your what do we call this? End of season big board?
Yeah, sure. End of season big board, sure.
All right.
So I'm taking goalie Ethan Smith. Mine is going to be number one on my big board, actually. Okay, so I'm going
to take... I wish he would actually listen to the show when he wasn't here.
So,
that, but...
so I am going to take Matty Beniers. I think he is so unbelievably well-rounded. He will fit wherever he goes. It does not matter. Any of the soon-to-be 32 teams in the NHL, no matter where he goes, He's going to fit in perfectly. And he's so well-rounded, two-way player, like you mentioned. And on the offensive end as well, like obviously we talk about center depth is always good. He really just checks every box of like what I want in a draft pick. And down to the position, like literally every part of him is just, like I said, checks every box. Again, there's no bona fide number one in this draft. Obviously we have different number ones. So maybe the ceiling of a usual number one might not be there. He might not have, you know, that like superstar, like top 5-10 player in the NHL ceiling that a lot of number ones are usually labeled as, but no, make no mistake. Like the dude is a baller and he's going to have a heck of an NHL career wherever he ends up. I am a huge fan of Beniers.
And of course my number one is going to be the defenseman Owen Power. I know there are concerns about his game, maybe his decision-making, but he's 6'6". He skates like the wind. He's unbelievably agile, and he has the profile to really be a difference maker in the offensive end. He's a terrific playmaker in all three zones. I did a story on him a couple months ago when I talked to Chicago Steel GM Ryan Hardy, and just the way he talked about this kid and his like the head on his shoulders. And you can even see it like shine through a little bit whenever he makes a TV appearance. I know like I think around the new year, he was on TSN when Bob McKenzie did his midseason ranking show. And he's just awkward because he's like just such a quiet, down-to-earth kid. And when I talk to people around him about who he is as a player or who he is as a person, the thing I've mainly gotten is that he is the one of the most mature kids you'll ever meet for his age. And that is saying something when it comes to a player with this much God-given talent. Like the fact that, you know, his preparation is next level and just the work ethic is next level. And, you know, one of the things that stuck out to me was I was told that he was a guy who you never had to tell him literally anything twice. Like he knew what he had to do. He knew what was expected of him. And he just went out and did those things. He didn't need to hold his hand. And I think that's very important as he comes up through the ranks here. And that'll be something that's pretty enticing overall about his game, I would think. And that's outside of his play. I think every place outside of Dauber Prospects has him like either 1, 2, or 4. So if this kid reaches his ceiling, you're looking at a franchise number one defenseman. And I just think that's too hard to pass up at this point in time for like just in general.
But for sure. Yeah, no, I'm not going to disagree with any of that. That would be a very fun pairing, obviously.
All right. I think we had the same players in the top 10, which is kind of funny.
We did. Do we have a single? I think we literally had the exact same 10 people just in a different order, which shocks me. I really expected, especially at like 8 through 10, for us to have maybe some interchangeable ones. What was the biggest differential we had? I want to say it was,
I think it might've been Eklund.
Eklund I had at 6 and you had at 3.
Yeah. I had,
where'd you had Edvinson?
8.
Okay, so I had him at 5, so that's the same. So, yeah, looks like the biggest one we had was a 3-3-er. Who do you think, like, I know this is maybe way too early and we don't even know where our pick is, but, like, who do you think, if you had to put money on using betonline.ag to, like, for which one of these people ends up being a Red Wing, which one are you putting your USD on?
I have absolutely no idea. I'm right now, I feel as if Power, Beniers, and Eklund are going to all go top 5. I'm going yep. to throw that out there right now. I just feel good about
sure.
that.
I would be shocked if Powers and Beniers weren't 1-2 and just depending on the order. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I maybe Luke Hughes's injury causes him to fall mm-hmm. a little bit. So maybe he does get to 6. I have no idea. I think I don't know. You might end up with a defenseman. I think that's just more. It's just straight up too hard to tell right now.
It is. I'm just gonna put it into the universe. Jesper Wallstedt.
Jesper Wallstedt. All right, I like it.
Hey man, like if we're supposed to, we're like we talked about. You know, we're supposed to go somewhere in that 5 to 9 range, and we could fall anywhere in there. That's exactly where he's slated to go. I think that'd be I think that would be super fun. I'm just going to put it into the universe and hope for it.
There, like, I have that feeling. I have the same feeling about him as I do Kent Johnson, where it's like there's part of me that, like, hopes that they fall a little bit, like the Red Wings fall a little bit, because, like, there are certain players that, like, you can't take swings on at certain positions. And, like,
sure.
I mean, if Power or Beniers or Eklund or whoever it may be, I don't know. There's just too many unanswerable questions, right?
There is. Without there knowing, is. We're like, early. We're early.
Yeah. So, I honestly don't think getting closer to the draft is going to clear any of this up. If anything, it might just make it more muddled, frankly. Yeah, I don't know.
Wallstedt to Detroit. Hashtag new hashtag.
Hashtag Wallstedt to Detroit. All right, let's do a tankathon spin. Let's get the hell out of here.
All right.
What are you guessing?
I'm guessing 6 because that's where we always end up when we do these.
You need a drum roll.
Oh, you need a drum roll? Well, yeah. I don't like
with your hands.
I don't know. Like,
yeah, like that. Yeah. Okay. 7. They pick 7. All right, same time, same place. It's your team every day. See you here tomorrow. I forgot to say that part. All right, hit the music, Brian.
Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.